I think 2.0 is really a conduit to provide hope to some of these families that really haven't had it before, and that we're genuinely listening to them and helping address their challenges so that they can feel like this is a different day and that that hope can carry them to some of these opportunities.
Jerry Bingham is the coordinator of Chattanooga 2.0, a new countywide effort to explore ways in closing the gap between the economic opportunities of our county and the actual educational realities. Over the past three decades, Chattanooga has been a model of reinvention, revolutionizing its economy and identity from being an industrialization center to tourism, technology, and innovation. And now, one of the gifts of our community is that we have plenty of opportunity out there. The question is, how do we equip our people to fulfill those opportunities? This is the Camp House Podcast, and I am your host, Matt Busby. Jared, thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So before jumping into discussing Chattanooga 2.0, I was hoping you'd maybe tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this position? Where are you from? How'd you end up in Chattanooga?
Sure. So it was a little bit of a circuitous route, I guess. I'm a fourth generation educator in East Polk County, a father of five children, and the husband of an educator. And just always been involved in some capacity with education. I'm a former elementary principal, high school principal, and in 2013 I went to Nashville to work as a legislative liaison around education policy and led the work of the Expect More, Achieve More coalition. And I was actually headed back home. My wife was pregnant with our fifth child when some folks here in Hamilton County asked me to be a part of this Chattanooga 2.0 movement at the beginning, and I was very honored to have that opportunity. So jumped at it.
Wow. So you really do come from this legacy of educators within your family. And you've, I guess, is there any level of the education scope or field that you haven't been a part of?
Well, I've never been a pre-K teacher. Okay. Yeah. I've actually, at one point, I was an elementary guidance counselor. So I would see kindergarten through eighth grade, and then as a high school principal, I had access to high school students. So I've done pretty much everything K through 12. And my father was my principal when I was in high school. So, we're like the education mafia in East Polk County.
Well, tell me about one of those experiences. What did you enjoy most when it came to your actual time in a classroom or being a principal?
Sure. So probably my favorite position was elementary principal, because you got to really see children develop at a quicker rate than maybe in high school. High school, they're for better or worse set in their ways in many areas, but in elementary school, kids are so moldable, so you can really have an impact on their lives. And elementary children are a little more forgiving when you discipline them than high school students. Yeah. So, I could reprimand a student in the morning and they were hugging me before they were getting on the bus in the afternoon, which wasn't always the case in high school. But, it was, for me, looking back, I guess, those times that aren't scripted, that where it's a formal setting, that you're getting to hang out with kids on the playground or in the hall before school starts, or just waiting outside for the buses when kids just talk to you about their lives, and you start building these relationships, especially in a small community. I had the privilege of starting my career with a generation of kids in kindergarten and almost following them through their experience. So that's probably the most rewarding thing for me, was getting to follow this generation of kids from kindergarten to graduation.
So, you said that Hamilton County contacted you to become part of this. How long ago was that call? When did this conversation to bring you to Hamilton County start?
So it was almost a year ago. I remember it was at the end of June, and some of the partners here in Hamilton County that had been working on Chattanooga 2.0 for a few months. The Bill Kilbride, the chamber president, Sarah Morgan with the Ben Wood Foundation, Rick Smith, superintendent, and Dan Challener, the president of PEF, had been meeting regularly to figure out a way to really push this moment for better outcomes for students. And I'd had the privilege of working with most of those folks in my former role on state-level initiatives, and they knew I was headed back home. So at the end of June, they asked if I would come in and just have a conversation and give some my perspective on some of the work they were doing. And that led to further conversations, and my official start date was July 7th, so okay. I'm approaching my one-year anniversary.
Now, you don't technically work for the Hamilton County Department of Education, correct? You actually are employed by PEF.
I've got an office at PEF and the Chamber of Commerce, so okay. I've got a foot in both worlds, in the economic development and education.
Well, could you describe PEF for our listeners? I'm not sure everybody's going to be aware of what the Public Education Foundation is. Is it a separate reality from the HCDE, or is it a branch of HCDE? How does that operate in our community?
Sure. So it is a separate entity from HCDE, and they're really a support organization for teachers, for guidance counselors, for the leadership pipeline of principals coming into Hamilton County. More recently, the Step Up program, which is an opportunity for high school students to participate in the summers in an internship program. So they have a lot of programmatic support around college readiness and supporting students in completing college, and also in fostering leaders within Hamilton County schools.
Okay. Really focused on improving, on just being a huge support to HCDE and bringing in additional resources to help teachers and administrators. And
exactly.
Great. You actually just mentioned that this conversation about Chattanooga 2.0 has been going on, and that there are people having these conversations. I guess, you know, before we actually talk about what Chattanooga 2.0 is, well, first of all, let me ask you this. When somebody asks me what Chattanooga 2.0 is, I usually say, well, it's the biggest education reform initiative the county's undertaken in 25 years. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's definitely one way to characterize it. And sometimes people default to K-12 education, but it really is a cradle to career movement.
Okay, great. So I definitely want to talk about that more in a minute. But what I find myself when I say that, when that kind of comes out of my mouth, I realize that might be a true statement, but it's not a very helpful statement either.
Right.
So I do want to spend a lot of time talking about what exactly is Chattanooga 2.0. But first, I guess my question too is, like, I think there's been a general sense within Chattanooga for a while that the education system could be reformed. It needs to be improved. That there's this general dissatisfaction there. But my question for you is why now? Like, what is it that spurred us to this moment where there's this community-wide effort? And I think we'll talk more about that here in a minute. But this community-wide effort at education reform.
So I'll step back a little bit. In the spring of 2015, the partners I mentioned earlier, the Chamber, Ben Wood Foundation, Hamilton County Schools, and PEF came together with some teachers and principals and other thought partners from across the state to look at the results that Hamilton County Schools was getting, not just K-12, but also in post-secondary, and realized that there were some definite challenges there and some room for improvement. So came up with some initial strategies and continued to have conversations, but really not a, you know, didn't have anyone waking up every day 9 to 5 or what I found is like 7 to 7, but to figure out ways that we can actually get better outcomes. So when I first came on board, one of the first things we did was to get a snapshot of where we are, and that was the original Chattanooga 2.0 report that looked at outcomes in K-12. It looked at our post-secondary outcomes, and it was a pretty sobering report. We formally released it in December, and it was a little bit of a blow to the community. I mean, to know that we have so many opportunities, especially economic opportunities in the community, but we have just a large portion of our graduates that weren't accessing those opportunities.
Yeah. So I think that does lead us into this conversation about what is Chattanooga 2.0. And I think you know, even in the beginning, I was under the impression that this was something that this is a layout of reforms and initiatives that have already been decided upon. And, you know, the people who put that together are just trying to get the community on board. But, you know, I read through Chattanooga 2.0, the report you're talking about. It's 45 pages. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty hefty document. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, not a lot of people have time to sit down and read through that. But it's actually not a outline of reform. Like you said, it's basically a baseline of this is where our community is at. And it talks about the economic opportunities in our community, but also the sobering reality of where our school system is and being able to prepare people for those opportunities. So can you talk for a minute about what are some of those, what are the highlights in that report for you, both in terms of the economic opportunity, but also in terms of the stats that show where we're at right now? And then what's the big goal? Like, there's a very big goal that's stated in there.
Sure. You're right that when people that did read the report, or at least part of it, and they got to the back or flipped to the back to see, you know, the expectation we've got 10 solutions to fix these challenges, they weren't there. We actually ended the report with questions such as, do we have the will as a community to do something about this? So some of the high-level, you know, more sobering statistics were only 43% of our 3- and 4-year-olds are in some kind of early childhood program. That doesn't necessarily mean a quality program. It just means a program. So we've got a lot of kids coming to kindergarten not ready to learn. We look at our third grade reading. Only 38% of our third graders are reading at grade level when they leave third grade. We look at access to a quality education, and there's a huge disparity for our students of color. For instance, African-American student is 33 times more likely to attend one of the bottom 5% of schools in the state here in Hamilton County than a white student is.
Yeah, that felt like the most I just remember sitting there and sitting with that for a minute before I moved on in the report. That felt very shocking.
Yeah, and then also post-secondary, we're enrolling a lot of kids at our local post-secondary institutions, but we aren't graduating a lot of kids. Chattanooga State, for instance, only 13% of enrolled students graduate within 3 years of enrolling. So we've got some work to do pretty much in the entire spectrum, but, you know, it's also we want to make sure we weren't coming across as an indictment to educators who are really working hard. It wasn't ever our desire to come in and say, you know, to pile on teachers or principals. It's actually, what can we do to better support you so that we can help better support our students? And so once we released that report and we start having these community conversations, we didn't want this top-down approach that we're going to come in with philanthropy or whoever it may be and say, okay, we're going to save the day. Here's 10 things we're going to fund, and you need to buy into it, community, because that's the model that has been done before, not really worked or hasn't been sustainable. So we felt like we really needed to authentically engage the community on what are the strategies that you feel like we need to implement to get better outcomes. What are the challenges you're facing at Orchard Knob or at Soddy Daisy or in Sail Creek that might be unique to you and your community that we need to help address? So once we found that the community did have an appetite to engage in this process and help inform some strategies, we did a couple things. One, we established 3 working groups: an early childhood work group, a post-secondary workforce development work group, a K-12 work group. And then we also developed an interfaith council that I can speak to later as well. But so we had these work groups and this council working in parallel to each other and taking feedback we were getting from the community to help inform strategies within those specific work areas. So we set ourselves a 100-day window, participate in community engagement activities and compile all this feedback and get the work groups to create or co-construct strategies. And actually today is the 100th day.
Looky there.
Yeah, so the culmination of the strategies that the community has helped create has now come to fruition. And so it's a matter of now getting the word out about what plan the community has come up with.
Then to go back and answer this question, you know, what is Chattanooga 2.0? Up to now, Chattanooga 2.0 has simply been a report of our current state of our education system and the economic opportunities in front of the county. And then essentially you guys began this 100-day window not to give edicts and initiatives and reform plans, but to say, what are the problems you guys see? Is really as much to discover what the problems are as it is to discover potential solutions to those problems.
Right. And, you know, sometimes we were not surprised by what we found or the feedback we got, but sometimes we were pretty surprised to, you know, for instance, talking to college students asking, you know, why did you drop out? Why don't you, it's free to complete at least a 2-year degree in Tennessee, so why aren't you taking advantage of that? We found out logistics is a big problem within our community, especially in our neighborhoods of poverty. You know, some students might have to ride a bus over an hour just to get to Chattanooga State. Or if they do have a vehicle, if they get a flat tire, they can't afford to fix it. They can't, and they miss a couple classes and they drop out. So a lot of what we found wasn't necessarily academic in nature, but more about wraparound services to support students and families.
Yeah. Within the report, Chattanooga 2.0, you guys state a very explicit goal. Can you talk about what that goal is?
Sure. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
That's okay.
When I get excited talking about the community engagement. But, yeah, one of the goals we set, and it really was an overarching objective that everything else feeds up to, is that 75% of our community members would have some kind of post-secondary credential. And that was building off of the governor's Drive to 55 initiative that 55% of Tennessee residents will have some kind of post-secondary credential by 2025. So, you know, part of the reason we went beyond the 55% mark is that when you look in Hamilton County, 83% of the jobs that pay a living wage, and we consider a living wage $35,000 or more, 83% of those jobs require some kind of post-secondary credential. So when we first talked about 75% of our community having a credential, some people said, oh, that's too aspirational, that's too blue sky, we need to be more realistic. In reality, it's really not that blue sky when you think about 83% of the jobs that pay a living wage require a credential. So we're actually undershooting to some degree what the market demand is.
Right. I guess, so 75% is the big dream right now by 2025. Can you give us, what's our baseline right now? Where are we?
So the hard numbers that we can use from the U.S. Census data is we're at around 38 or 39% of our current residents have a credential. Now, that doesn't capture industry credentials. That we have a harder time capturing industry certifications like a coding certificate or something like that, or a welding certificate that an industry leader provides to its employees. We've estimate that about 4%, you can add 4% to that. So we're a little over 40%, 42, 43% right now. And it's really doable. I mean, we've broken it down by how much each institution would, post-secondary institution would have to contribute to their quote-unquote share of credentials to get us there. And it's very doable.
So essentially what we're talking about is just over a third of current Hamilton County residents have this post-secondary credential we're talking about. And then by 2025, what we'd like to add to that is at least an additional third of Hamilton County residents.
That's correct.
A little over an additional third.
Yeah.
And so with these institutions we're talking about, we're not just talking about UTC and Chatt State, correct?
Correct. It's any of the feeder institutions in the community or region that help support the pipeline, the economic pipeline here. But it's also high school as well. I mean, people don't realize we can really leverage our high schools in helping students obtain industry credentials while they're in high school so that they graduate with a diploma and an industry certification.
Yeah, so when I lived in Florida, I actually graduated with just a bachelor's in history, so I had to do all my education pieces afterwards, and so I was enrolled in a 2-year college to finish those pieces up to get my certification for the state of Florida. And something that I never forgot, that has always stuck with me, was one of my teachers was a principal at a school that was 95% free and reduced lunch, so 95% is economically disadvantaged school, it's a middle school. He's one of those principals who had incredible relationships with his students. And he had a kid who was 16 years old, was about to finally finish eighth grade and move on to high school at 16. And the principal knew he was going to drop out as soon as that, because it was that personal relationship with the principal that was keeping him there. And the principal lamented the current school system, because while this student couldn't read very well or do a lot of the kind of the benchmarks we want to see academically, he could fix a diesel engine, right? And so if there had been an opportunity in high school for him to go on to get his diesel mechanics license, he would have ended up staying in school, graduating from high school, and ended up earning more money than the principal was making. And he just sees that as was a huge missed opportunity within the school system at the time.
What most people don't realize is that in Hamilton County, an industry certification is outperforming a four-year degree from UTC as far as earning power 5 years after obtaining that credential. So
that's fascinating.
And many of these industry certifications can be obtained in 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. So there's some really good paying jobs out there with these credentials.
Yeah, so I feel like so much of the conversation I've heard with Chattanooga 2.0 has, you know, revolved around education. In our minds, that doesn't go beyond K-12 very often. What I'm hearing you say, some of the biggest and the best opportunities for our county right now are for adults who want to seek out one of these new, you know, certifications. And really, so like this vision almost has as much to do with adults as it does with children.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's no way we can reach the 75 mark. Actually, there's no way we could reach the 55 mark without helping support adults in obtaining some kind of credential. So part of that is leveraging some statewide initiatives we already have in place, like Tennessee Reconnect, where any 26-year-old or under can go back and get an industry certification or a two-year associate's for free, or finish their associate's if they started one. So it's, how do we support anyone who wants to better their life, access these opportunities? Yeah, it's definitely not K-12, and that's where most people default. But it's also early childhood is huge in this spectrum of what the community has told us that they need support in. So mm-hmm. it's a little more unwieldy when you start looking at birth to a job, but it's still something that's very needed in the community.
So in the report, it's titled Chattanooga 2.0. Where that title comes from is that Chattanooga 1.0 was the giant reform program that revolved around place, you know, 20, 25 years ago, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And then Chattanooga 2.0 now is focusing on people. And I really like saying people there and not education, for the reasons we've just talked about. There's so many opportunities that are not just early childhood education or K-12 or even college, but even post, you know, people who are in their 30s, 40s, and beyond. One of the things the report pulls out is that in the past, Chattanooga has been very good about coming together as a community to solve big problems. And that's kind of the hallmark of our renaissance as a city is this public-private partnership and people from across different industries coming together to make something happen. The report, Chattanooga 2.0 report, wants to leverage that same sort of broad-scale swath of the community to help transform this. How do you imagine that happening? I mean, so whenever I think of stakeholders in education, I think most of the time our imaginations don't go beyond a parent, a child, a teacher, an administrator, maybe somebody from the school board. I'm not sure the average business owner or lawyer or factory worker necessarily sees themselves as a stakeholder within the larger community of education beyond their own child. So how do you envision getting these people in on this effort to make it really community-wide?
Sure. So from a tactical side, when we released the report, each section, the early childhood section, the K-12 section, and the post-secondary section, will have some concrete steps people can take if they want to get involved. You know, if you're a business leader, here's three things you can do. If you're a parent, if you're just a concerned citizen, here are three things you can do, five things you can do. And give a menu of options for people to in different levels of engagement, because I get asked that all the time. That's when I go give a presentation on Chattanooga 2.0, that we've got a great community that really wants to help and support education. They say, well, what can I do? And, you know, it goes beyond some of the one-off programs that people are used to, you know, just, well, I'll go volunteer for an hour and I've done my part. You know, it's how do we sustain this momentum? How do we sustain this conversation? How do we keep people engaged, not just in one feedback session, but an ongoing conversation?
Thanks for listening to the first half of our conversation with Jared Bingham. Next week, we'll continue our discussion on Chattanooga 2.0, looking at some of the specific challenges of the report, including some of the sobering statistics. And we're also going to look at some of the potential, hopeful solutions that have been uncovered by the report and the 100-day window of forums and conversations within the community. And if you've enjoyed this conversation and you want to continue to hear interviews exploring community and the culture of our city, then please subscribe to the Camp House podcast on iTunes. You can also share this episode by going to our website, thecamphouse.com/podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you right here next week.